Sit back, relax, and raise a glass, for spirits coming from the past. Sip on salt while your skin crawls with your pre-haunting host having a ball. Your favorite pools, gather the others, no hesitating. The moment's approaching, it's now time to sing. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, crack open the can and fill to the top. Hogs and hogs, hogs and hogs, this is your podcast and it's called Hogs and Hogs.
No matter where you're joining us from, welcome back to our realm. This is the Haunts and Hops podcast. We scour the paranormal world while indulging in the most delicious brewed craft beer from Tavor. Follow us on all social media at Haunts and Hops. My name is Johnny LaQuasto. Follow me at Jay Quasto on the socials. Let's get to the stars of the show. She's a veteran paranormal investigator, was the youngest member ever on Ghost Hunters. She's a wealth of knowledge and I know has a beer in her hand, which I'm excited to hear about, because I don't think she knew what she was about to drink. Find her at Ashley Trobe on social media because she's the brilliant Ashley Trobe.
Thank you. Thank you. I didn't know what I was about to drink. I didn't read it. I just saw it says Terry meets Julie on the can. And I was like, okay, cool. It's got a raspberry on it. Maybe it's going to be like a little raspberry IPA. Because I told them, you know, I told Tavor, who's really good about creating these boxes for you, that I was really into IPAs and I'm down to try other things. So I got to try another thing, but I didn't know it until I opened it and took a sip. And it is a sour.
Yes.
Which you have to really be prepared for a sour. You can't just take a sip and have it be a surprise. So unfortunately, it wasn't on camera, but the face I made was the typical face I make when I'm disgusted. Not because I was disgusted, but because I was very confused.
Oh, is it my IPA face?
Yes, it was your IPA face.
Yes. Okay.
But it's really good. I just, you know, when you're just so like, I'm sure you've done this to yourselves and I'm sure our listeners have too. When you've been drinking the night before and you think that you've prepared yourself a glass of water for the next morning and then you take a sip and it's, you know, straight vodka or whiskey, which I've also done to myself plenty of times. Yeah. So yeah, it was pretty shocking, but it's very delicious. It is from Single Cut. Which I didn't read any of this, so I was not prepared, but it is a raspberry sour ale. It's 4.2% and it includes lactose.
See, for me with sour beer, sours are such an interesting genre of beer because you have people who are obsessed with sours. I can't stand it. If I'm going to even attempt a sour, it better have a high alcohol content. 4.2, Jesus, just no, I'll have water.
I was a little shocked to see the 4.2. A friend of mine recently posted on social media. He says, if you're from California, you don't fuck with beer or earthquakes below 5.0. And I was like, that's true. And now I'm drinking a beer that's 4.2.
But you didn't know. So you're forgiven as a Californian.
Thank you. Thank you.
Californian? Okay. My beer is over 4.0.
I can tell.
Well, let's officially bring in the woman who can't say Californian. She's certified in paranormal investigation and cryptozoology, lifelong connection to the paranormal, a true triple threat, wearing an amazing hoodie.
Thank you.
Is at Anastasia W, at Anastasia Washington, but in real life, she is Anastasia Washington.
It is true. I am Anastasia Washington, and I'm drinking Black is Beautiful, which is why I'm wearing one of my my t-shirt line, I have a t-shirt line that does like biracial statements. Anyway, and so I figured that would be perfect for Black is Beautiful. Now, Black is Beautiful has different ones, so I kind of want to collect them all like Pokemon, but we'll see if I can. This one is from Ogopogo Brewing, and it is a pastry stout with cinnamon, coffee, and vanilla bean. And it is 10% versus your 4. And it is quite delicious. I am not a huge coffee drinker. As many people know, I don't like coffee. But this is the kind of coffee I could get down with.
I'm kind of sad I can't have it because it has pecans in it. But the fun thing about the Black is Beautiful beer, it was the original, gosh, what brewery is it? Weathered Souls.
Weathered Souls, yeah.
they're the ones who came up with it. And so they gave the recipe to a bunch of different breweries to start putting out. And so they all began putting this out. Stone has one, like all of these different breweries now have this. And they all have this really gorgeous logo. And then just in huge letters, it says Black is Beautiful. And it's been really, really fantastic. We've gotten to have it in our stores too. But I'm liking seeing the breweries get into this, because on like the bottom of Modern Times cans right now, all of the Modern Times cans, do I have one? Yes. All the Modern Times cans on the bottom now say Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
So it's been fantastic seeing the beer community really, really, you know, put the word out there now.
And on top of it, what a perfect brew name for Haunts and Hops. Ogopogo is that's a cryptid we've spoke about on this show. We've discussed Ogopogo Lake Monster or whatever it is.
Yes, we have. There's the little monster right there on the logo.
Oh my gosh.
He's so that's fun. Cute, you know?
That's amazing. Black is beautiful and so is the Ogopogo. That's
yes. Fantastic. Yes. So it's quite delightful. And if drinking coffee was like this, then I would drink coffee.
So you're saying you just need your coffee to get you drunk?
Yeah.
I can do that for you.
I didn't know that was an option until now. So yes, I would like that.
Anastasia's like, I start off every morning with my coffee. Oh, how strong is the caffeine content? 10.2% as a matter.
Oh, you said caffeine, not alcohol? I don't understand.
Well, not to disappoint, I'm on the road right now. I'm traveling and I just got to my hotel. I don't have alcohol. I'm just drinking water and aminos. I'll make up for it next week. But before we bring in our amazing special guest, we got to give a shout out to Tavour. Follow them at TAVOUR. They are the sponsor of Haunts and Hops. If you want to develop your own amazing crate of craft beer, it's real simple. Download Tavour and start building. And once you hit $20 in your crate, use the code HAUNTS10, HAUNTS10. You get $10 automatically deducted. That might get you one or two sour beers. Who knows?
I did a social distance hangout with a friend recently, and I went to her house, and there was a bunch of different beers all over her kitchen counter. And I was like, what? Do you use Tavour? And she was like, yeah, I love it. And I was like, no way. So she's been using it. And I have a few friends that they've been ordering a bunch of stuff from it. So yeah, make sure. Use our discount, like get $10 off, please. Yeah. Like we want to give you those savings and try some amazing beer.
Yeah, let us give you money.
Let us give you money
and let us bring in our very special guest. She's an incredible actress. She plays Wendy Morrow in the creative and thought-provoking storytelling podcast In Another Room. It debuted back in August and it is so cool. It's on all social media platforms, all audio podcast platforms. And we're going to talk to her all about it and talk about some haunted houses. She is Carrie Weider. Carrie, hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm moving because my Wi-Fi is bad. Hi. Thank you for having me. Hello. I'm drinking beer as well.
Yeah. What are you drinking?
Yay. So I'm house sitting. In this house, I live here about 5 months out of the year, and I'm allowed to eat or drink anything in the house except for his Cardinal beer, from Switzerland.
Oh.
So I just went out in the refrigerator because it's very well stocked with beers, and I found a beer. You can see it's a cat
on a unicorn.
It's on a unicorn. There's fire coming out of the unicorn's nose.
Of course.
I have a headband like Rambo, and he has a gun, but I'm pretending it's a laser gun.
Sure.
And it's called Fantasy Factory from Carbon 4 Brewing in Madison, Wisconsin. It's a 6.3 IPA. Not very hoppy.
Oh, no.
I'm finding it surprisingly sessionable. It's got a fuller body. It's almost got like a weediness to it. It's been sitting in the garage for several months, I'm sure. So I keep drinking and going, oh, yeah, this is an IPA, and I don't usually like IPA. So there you go.
That's what I need to do, have it sit for months.
Well, I was just going to say, Anastasia.
Like wine. Yeah.
You know, Anastasia, if you don't like the hops, if you just let your beer sit for way too long, it's going to lose that hoppiness, and it's going to get really malty, and you might like it better.
That's what happened. It is malty, yeah. So I thought I knew a lot about beer, but that's a good thing to know and learn. So thank you.
Because I'm constantly telling people where I work that, you know, make sure you're rotating the beers. And they're like, why? Alcohol doesn't go bad. And I'm like, yeah, but the hops do. Like the hops go bad. Because it takes about 3 months typically about 3 months from when they, you know, can that beer to when you're about to drink it. It's one of those things in the beer community. If they see a beer that is like past 3 months old, when it comes to IPA specifically, they want nothing to do with it. They're not.
Wow.
Yeah. Like Russian River's like that. Like I've picked up a lot of Russian River for people when I drive up north to my sister's, and they're very like, if you're not going to like, they're so like, you're driving to LA, you need to have it at this temperature, do the whole thing. And like, you know, and they're very, very, you know, like about the time and dates that you're going to drink it and stuff like that.
We have very specific rules. We can't promote it a certain way. We can't post it on social media. Like, we have to be really careful with Russian River because they take it very seriously, and it has to always stay refrigerated. We can never have the boxes out. Whole big thing.
Yeah.
Well, they do have their cult-like following, so they can...
They- True. That is true. And like, that is why whenever I'm up at Santa Rosa, my friends are like, hey, so you, yeah, I'm close to the Russian River. What do you want? It's like $15 a bottle and up. Like, you know, we're not talking six packs, you know, it's
you're a dealer. You're a dealer.
I guess I'm a dealer, you guys. I didn't even know. I'm a beer dealer.
And Carrie, you mentioned knowing a lot about beer. So you worked in the beer industry for 20 years?
20 plus. I worked in a place that first was called Manhattan Beach Brewing Company. And they made their own beers. They had about five or six beers that they made. So I learned about beer, and I was there when they were brewing it. And I know what it smells like, and you know, and I know the ingredients. And then in like 2007, they switched and they became, you know, brewing went out of fashion. So then they switched out their tanks, and they got about 48 beers on tap, mostly microbrews, and they became Brew Co. And they're still there. I no longer work there, but yeah. So I've been around beer forever. I like lagers. I've tasted so many IPAs, and people are like, oh, you just haven't tried it. It's like, no, I've tried them. It's just not my thing. Everybody's different, and you have to respect
that. See, everyone's always trying to like go, this IPA is not very IPA-ish. And you're like, okay, but like, it's an IPA. So like, it probably is IPA-ish since it's in the name.
Right. Yeah. And I know from serving people that, you know, if people ordered like a Bud Light, because we always did have one domestic on tap, and people would be like embarrassed. And I'd be like, you know, if that's what you like, that's what you should order. I'm going to silently judge you, but if that's what you like, get it. Because I don't want to spend time bringing you different tasters and then you going, hey, you just don't like it. You know what I mean? So that's my philosophy.
We make fun of Anastasia all the time for the beer that she drinks. It's fine.
Everybody's different. That's what makes the world go round.
I think my favorite was when she had a Corona on the show. That was really the kicker.
That was because of quarantine.
Coronavirus beer to...
No, I didn't mean like that.
Yeah.
Like
a Yeah.
Oh, you were desperate? That's what you had.
I was desperate.
Wow. You know, yeah. I was just looking at the grocery ads like yesterday, and they had Corona on sale, and I was like, you know, I like lighter beers and lagers, and I'll drink a lot of Mexican beers, but I just won't buy Corona. Sorry, Corona. Can't do a commercial for you, I guess.
We apologize to Snoop Dogg.
Oh, is that his beer?
He's the new spokesperson for a Corona.
What isn't he the spokesperson for right now? Because he's like everywhere. He's everywhere.
You're the perfect guest for this show for a number of reasons. Let's talk quick about In Another Room. So storytelling podcast. Have gotten really popular, and honestly, like, it's such an immersive podcast. Tell us a little bit about it and how you ended up getting involved.
So, In Another Room originated as an immersive theater show in LA. The producers, E3W, they were putting it on in their house in Koreatown, this very old house, big old house, and I wasn't in it originally. My friend Shirley Jordan was the original Wendy Morrow, and she and I keep in touch every few days, and she's like, yeah, I'm doing this play. It's in these guys' house in Koreatown. I'm like, what? What are you? I don't understand. You know, three people at a time come in, three or four. I forget. It was a very small audience. And, you know, she was telling me about the show, and I was like, this is just so weird. And then she was like, oh, by the way, I booked a TV show, and I'm not able to do the show one night. Can you fill in for me? And I was like, okay. And, you know, and I got the script, and it was this huge monologue that I had, you know, a few days to learn and go into rehearsal and then perform it with people like standing and touching them and moving them around the room. And I was just like, ah! You know, I love a challenge. So I did it. And then, one night you do five performances, five or six, you just keep doing the show again and again and again. And then I was like, okay, I did it. Wow. And then my friend was like, my mother's really sick. Can you take over the rest of the show? And I ended up doing that. And then they were doing because of quarantine, decided to make it a podcast. And again, Shirley was going to have the role of Wendy Morrow. She originated the role and they were going to give it to her. And then she couldn't do it. She had a conflict. So they released a breakdown for it.
I auditioned for.
Yeah. And they had asked me about doing just voices of like newscasters and little voices. And I was so excited because I love working with them and I've worked with them a million times. And then Shirley texted me. She's like, uh-oh, they released the breakdown. And I was like, what? So I emailed them and I was like, hey, I want to throw my hat in the ring. I'd love to play Wendy again because I've already played the role. And then they said, oh, yeah, our producer doesn't know you. So she just released it again. But we really want to use you. And I got the role. So it was meant to be and it happened. And
amazing.
I want to know. Yeah. Yeah. So sorry, Anastasia.
No, it was just so funny because I was just like, yeah. And you are the OG. So it makes sense.
I'm the second OG. Yeah. Yeah. So it's been fun. So I'm house sitting in this old house and I always, even though I was in the show, this script is different. I would always put it off and then be at night reading the script and going over it and then freaking myself out because I'd hear sounds in the house and I was like, damn it. Why don't I look over this script and prepare for this role during the day? I'm going to do that tomorrow. And then I'd forget and I'd be preparing it at night and freaking out and like, someone's in the house with me. And, you know, working on it during quarantine when you're kind of stuck in the house anyway, in an old house, it played with my mind a little bit. It messed with me. In the best way.
Method for your podcast.
Experience. Yes. Yes. Method. Yeah.
It's like I love reading No Sleep when I decide it's time for bed. I'm like, yeah, I'll just read a quick little No Sleep story. Terrible idea. Don't do that to yourself.
Well, I watch True Crime to fall asleep, so I get it.
And for all the paranormal fans out there, it's essentially a collection of interlocking ghost stories centered around a house built in 1873 where every room has a different story. I think they claim 80
murder, a different death. Yeah. Like this is an old house where there's been like 73 deaths and, you know, and there's times where no one was there and it was condemned and people still snuck in and died and, you know, so yeah. And then as I go throughout I'm investigating why this happened. Is the house evil? You know, can I break the spell? And I end up kind of getting trapped. Not kind of, I get trapped in the house and all these hauntings are happening around me and some interact with me and a lot of death, you know?
I wonder, because I'm a couple episodes in, this almost to me could be like an amazing screenplay for a feature as well. I don't know if maybe it was at one point.
It has not been, but maybe at some point it will be. And it could be another, you know, that you could see a season 2, 3, 4. I don't know. I'm hoping because the voiceover does say from the case files of Wendy Morrow. So there could be other case files of Wendy Morrow taking place. I know, putting it out there in the universe.
Different locations.
Yes. And in fact, when I was reading the script this time, I was like, come on, this many people wouldn't die in a house. And I went on Horse Talk Horror, that podcast. And I was like, this isn't real, right? And they're like, no, that's excessive. That's too many deaths. And then I was reading an article in HuffPost about an actor who did a reenactment show about a house where like dozens of people had died in this house. And they actually filmed, he showed up to shoot this reenactment show and they filmed in the actual haunted house. So, right?
It's fun.
He wasn't expecting, I mean, for you it's fun. He was not expecting it. Cause you know, as actors, a lot of times you get your call sheet, you know, the night before at 11 p.m. and you get an address and you show up and he happened to show up at the actual haunted house and things happened. All these spooky things happened while they were filming. And yeah.
That is weird that we're like, here's an address, go to it.
Show up. Back in the day when I was first starting out acting, I was up in the Bay Area and I would show up to people's houses to audition, like creepy houses in San Francisco. And I don't do that anymore, you know, and it's not safe. And if it's union, they don't hold auditions in houses. And yeah. So be careful, actors.
I think at my teenhood and like as an actor and the stuff I did, and I'm like, that was definitely me too-ish. You know, let's not do that.
Questionable.
Okay, so there's a movie called Creep. It's amazing. It's Mark Duplass. But he's, I don't know how to explain it, but there's a certain scene where he's showing all of the ads that he's put out, and the whole thing is that this guy's really, really creepy, right? Obviously, it's concrete. But one of the things that they showed was like in the wanted ads on Craigslist, and it was just like, oh, I'm looking for a makeup artist in North Hollywood to come to my house and help me do this look. And in my head, I was just like, I could have wound up being one of these people in this movie because like I'm a makeup artist and I lived in North Hollywood when I saw this. And it's just, it's funny because you don't think about that stuff when you're getting ready to go to work. You're just like, yeah, I have to go to my client's house, let me just go on over there. And it's kind of weird because you have no idea like what you're doing or where you're going when you're doing these things. And it's just, I don't know how we do what we do in this industry, because
I went to an audition in San Francisco and I showed up and like it was in their house, and it was like this long hallway to get to through the house to where everything was, and like they offered me a glass of water right away. And I was like, oh my God, did they put something in this? You know what I mean? And like, I was trying to pretend like I was drinking it. I was trying to just do the audition and get out of there. And I was like, yeah, not a good idea. So
it's funny that there's not a ton of horror movies about the fact that we do this all the time. I mean, there's like Audition, which is the scariest horror movie to any man. Every man that's seen it, it's always like, Audition's the scariest one. And I'm like, okay.
I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a guy that holds auditions for female, and one audition gets one out over on him.
Comes back.
All men are like, no, 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 no. Yeah, it's good. It's like hard candy.
It's how I feel about the Green Room.
Oh, I love Green Room. But like, I'm surprised that there isn't like more horror-based things about, and the fact haunting bait, like just hauntings in general, based on the angst of our jobs, you guys, you know.
So does angst, does that bring about hauntings?
There is a theory that like your energy being so like tumultuous, or like just so, what is the word I'm looking for, like,
well, angst. It's a great transition into talking about haunted houses. Yeah. Because And by the way, if you want to listen to In Another Room, just look up In Another Room on the podcast platforms. It pops right up. So please go do that. I have a couple houses here, and I know you guys have a couple houses. For example, the house that I've been to before that I want to discuss, the Whaley House in San Diego. Mm. That's haunted by a number of different spirits, primarily Yankee Jim Robinson, who was hung for grand larceny on the premises. And then a couple years later, Thomas and Anna Whaley, who were a wealthy couple, built a house on those grounds. Before they know it, the spirit of Yankee Jim is bothering them. And then bad things started happening to the family over the years. They had one of the daughters commit suicide after a bad marriage. They had an 18-month-old die. And then Thomas and Anna supposedly still haunt the house as well. You know, Thomas has been seen at the top of the stairs in his frock, his coat, his top hat. Yankee Jim, you know, his presence is felt. And so and Ashley could speak to this too, and so can Anastasia. It's residual energy, but then some are more intelligent than others, and that's what we're all still trying to figure out.
Yeah,
how and why.
And there's like current, like, you know, like not necessarily somebody had to be dead, but like that's like, you know, why you see it in like orphanages and in mental institutions, that so mm-hmm. that high anxiety energy, that traumatic energy, that it's just like chaotic and trapped in this place. And that's why I said it would be perfect for any actor to just be like some kind of poltergeist walking from place to place. Because we are just poltergeists.
Well,
I mean, the energy is so odd in the first place, especially when it comes to the paranormal and us not actually, I mean, I've said it before, I'll say it again, none of us are actually experts, and we're always learning. But like, doppelgangers specifically are created from energy, and it's typically your negative energy. And a really good example, this is something that happened to me many years ago. I was going through a really dark, dark time. I was going through my partner leaving me, and I just was having a just terrible time dealing with it. And I was always locked up in my room, and I refused to leave, and I was just depressed all the time. And I started having weird things happen in the house that seemed like a ghost. And I was like, you know, weird things happening, like things moving when they shouldn't have, me waking up thinking somebody was standing over me. And finally, I bring in a friend of mine who's a psychic, and brought her in, had her check the place out. And she's like, oh, this place is being haunted by this like little girl. She has long hair, blah, blah, blah. She's explaining it to me. And I'm like, what does she look like? And she's giving me all of these details. And I show her a picture and I'm like, hey, is this the little girl that's like haunting my home? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, cool. Well, that's me as a kid. And she's like, oh my God, you created your own doppelganger. And I was like, that's not a thing. That's not possible. She's like, that's exactly a thing. And that's what you did. So it turns out all of my negative energy was just, you know, it had nowhere to go, you know, an energy you can't create or, you know, get rid of. It just has to transfer. And it just was getting stuck in this room until I created my own haunting through my own negative energy with a doppelganger, which is wild because like once I showed her the picture, she was like, ooh, I don't like that. Like, it's just, it's wild. You know, the things that you can do with your energy, I know it's, the paranormal is so difficult to explain. And it, you know, you hear things like this and you're just like, how can this be real? But then it happens. And somehow I did that to myself. Go me.
Can I ask another question? Well, I just did. Okay. Can objects like hold bad juju, but not release it until like it's maybe jostled or something releases that energy?
You mean like being like dormant in like a doll or something?
Yeah, like, okay, so I'm in this house that I'm house sitting. Can you see this? So I call this the cat house because there's cat fingerings everywhere. And so
are
there's
you in my
this,
house.
There's this okay, so it's and it's the it's a little scary. So and it's on a low shelf, so I don't think about it a lot. And I think I probably put it on a low shelf. I can't remember. Maybe I should move it to a high shelf before I move out of the house.
Or to the closet.
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. I'm worried that if I put it in the closet, that I'll activate something and then like I'll come out and it won't be in the closet. So this is why I'm asking. Oh. Like, can something be like, okay, something bad happened and there's some juju there, but it's fine. But then if I like anger that object or like,
I mean, that's in theory, like, you know, like objects and, you know, ghostly energy in theory, yes, you can disturb like it wanting to be where it wants to be or coming, you know, like you can disturb its energy and then, I guess in a way activate it, but I think you've already moved it. So well, I think it'll be fine.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know though. So I don't know what's going on with it. I don't know if you've experienced something with it.
It sounds like you have experienced something with it or you feel uncomfortable around it. So like, can you tell me like, what is it about this figurine? Cause I saw everybody's reaction. For those that, you know, listen to the show, we have a camera going so we can see what's going on. And everybody had the same exact face when you put up the figurine to the camera. So obviously everybody was kind of uncomfortable with it. So can you tell me the story?
Cat. Oh yeah, I need to explain it then because they can't see. So it's a cat with like a party hat on, but the cat has a really weird smile. And then there's this like Renaissance kind of clown sitting on the cat and it's holding up a cat mask with a spooky cat face on the mask. And then the Renaissance clown has kind of like almost a sad face and a dejected body position. And so it's a little, and then the cat's tail actually it's attached with a spring. And so the tail actually moves.
It seems very sad. It looks like the visual depiction of a Simon and Garfunkel song. That's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
They're a brilliant duo, but man, their music is sad and depressing. That's kind of
melancholy. Melancholy. Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. The face reminds me of those old fashioned like Halloween cards.
Oh, yes. 100% yes.
Right? Yeah, like those classic Halloween cards. I don't even know what era that would be, but that's what it reminds me of. And then to have like a really sad clown covering his sad face with a cat face mask. I mean, it's complicated.
There's a lot going on. Yeah.
And we could really go in depth with this person that created this is going through in life.
And to answer your question, items can be haunted. We've spoken about this in previous episodes to where, you know, the theory maybe could be that, you know, dolls get haunted because dolls have arms, dolls have legs, dolls have eyes, and the spirits anything's possible. But to sum up the Whaley House in San Diego, go there. All right. It's not open right now during the pandemic, but if you're ever in San Diego, the Whaley House is so historic. That is a wonderful haunted house to visit. They have a courthouse that's attached to it. You get to walk through the whole thing. The general store is still there. And the spirits that are supposedly still inhabiting, we have Thomas Whaley, Anna Whaley, Yankee Jim Robinson, one of the pet dogs, and a little girl that they're not quite sure of, but they think one of the young Whaleys. So that's a great house.
Can I just say one thing I love so much about you? Hmm. We get so distracted, and you're just like, no, we're going back to what we were talking about.
We're talking about haunted houses. We only have so much time.
I know. I love it. I'm saying I appreciate it about you because I totally forgot we were talking about the Whaley House because we went off on a tangent.
Right. Well, do you guys have a house you want to talk about?
You know, I was just trying to think of, like, the most haunted house that I've probably been in or, like, the most, like, haunted house that I felt something in. Although, currently, I've since childhood felt stuff in my house, but I don't know. That might be a little bit of my energy. I think the most disappointing one to me, can I say the most disappointing haunted house?
Sure.
So I was really thinking that when I went into the Winchester House,
right,
I was gonna feel like all kinds of crazy stuff, right? Like I felt like I was just gonna feel like it, like how I felt in the Queen Mary when I was a kid, you know, just like hit me like whatever. But when I was a kid and I walked around the Winchester House, I didn't feel that way. I felt like it was a really cool house, but I felt like not that.
I've been there as well, and I'm not as sensitive as you, but the Winchester House was built by excess money and insanity. Unfortunately, you know, she was hearing voices. People think maybe she was schizophrenic. She kept building because the voices kept telling her, but she was convinced that those voices were the voices of people who were killed by the Winchester rifle. And I think they made a movie that came out, I think, last year.
Oh,
that,
do not see the movie. Yeah, don't see the movie. It is based in Helen Mirren? No. Yes, it is. And I was like, what is happening that you said yes to this movie? But I will say, like, guilt, like her guilt of being, you know, the heir to Winchester is enough to drive you a little nuts, I think, being so sensitive, you know. So I mean, the house is insanely gorgeous and it's weird and I love it, but I just don't feel like the strong presence that should be felt, I would assume, based on what she was kind of saying was happening.
Well, Ashley, what are your thoughts? Because that's been, the Winchester House has always been one of those iffy ones. You have some people that say, oh, it has to be haunted. And a lot of people say, no, it's just not. It's just huge and creepy.
It's so interesting because with situations like that, like, and I this is a question for everybody, if anybody wants to answer this as well, but like, I have found that sometimes I go into places that are supposed to be notoriously haunted and so, you know, terrifying to be in, and then nothing will happen. And I'm like, oh, I had no experience here. Is this actually just a rumor or is it actually haunted? Mm-hmm. But then one of the things to consider is the paranormal world is kind of like a zoo. You can't just go into the zoo and expect the lions to be out and playing. You know, sometimes they're hiding in their cave. And it makes you wonder, like, did you show up at the right time for a residual haunting or, you know, whatever it might be. But in this case in particular, this was like, I think, an episode of Supernatural. I don't know if you guys have seen that, but there was an episode where, like, it was a very similar situation to the doppelganger thing where they kind of created their own ghost through this energy. And the more they believed in this haunting, the heavier the haunting became. And it makes you wonder, like, if you go into a place and you're just like, I've heard it's not haunted, I don't think it's going to be haunted, like, does that affect the way that you experience things? Because, I mean, they did a whole episode and it was really interesting because the more they believed in this spirit, the stronger this spirit became. And so it makes you wonder, is that what's happening in her situation where, like, she believed in it so heavily and she really felt guilt about it? And did she create this haunting in herself? And did she do what I did where you had all of this energy and it was all negative? And then it just winds up in one place. And, you know, with the idea of hearing schizophrenia and things like that, I grew up with a schizophrenic stepdad. And you have no idea what's going to happen next in situations like that. And so I have been unfortunate that I can never actually, I've never investigated. I've always been curious about it, but you know, it's so odd because there is, it's very 50-50. I've heard people say that they've had nothing happen and they didn't feel anything. And then I've heard other people say that it was crazy, a crazy experience, and they loved it so much and it's so haunted. And it really I'm curious if this happens to other people, that if we're going in with these expectations, if that's what is potentially creating these situations for us.
It may be. I mean, I've been there multiple times because I dig the house. I think it's cool because I'm just like, yes, 13 doors. Come on. Come at me, right? Like doors to nowhere. Yes. Stairways to like nothing. Yes. I do think it is most likely that she did manifest her own haunting because she had a lot. I mean, first of all, times were hard in general and she experienced a lot of tragedy. She just, you know, was going through a lot. And I think it is very probable that it is some kind of doppelganger energy that she was going through. And it is kind of still really cool to check out. And it's really cool to explore that kind of haunting in general anyway. And seeing something as massive and, I don't know, just elaborate, constructed from something like that is great too. Like, I don't think it has to be like actively haunted to appreciate it.
And one thing we can agree on is the Winchester House is being haunted is good for business because.
Yep.
It is true.
You know,
I have to ask though. So if this is the case, if we create our own doppelgangers, sometimes we create our own hauntings, right? If that person passes away, I mean, energy again doesn't go away. What happens to that doppelganger? And so is the fact that she is gone, is that why you're not feeling something when you're there? And it really makes you think, like, what is happening with that energy that you've created once you are out of the picture?
Mm-hmm. What if the negative doppelganger you created kind of gels with the negative spirit that you did have as a human being? I mean, that's a possibility. This would be more of a Brian Cano question, perhaps, or
it's just an interesting quandary in general. But I think that it's interesting that people have experiences there and have feelings there and don't. And I think, yeah, maybe, I mean, sometimes we may just project our own mythos of it. Like, it just may be such a large legend in our mind that we want to see something and we do see something.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I bet you Brandon Alves or Mustafa Gadolari would have something to say about that too, which is very interesting. But Carrie, the last house we have, this is perfect for In Another Room. This house doesn't have 86 confirmed deaths like in the In Another Room storytelling podcast, but this is in New York City. I can give you the address. What the hell? It's 14 West 10th Street, New York, New York, Greenwich Village. There's a claim of up to 22 spirits roaming the halls. All right. It was constructed in the 1850s, and many confirmed spirits, if you will, have been here over the years. The most famous being a little gentleman by the name of Samuel Clemens, a.k.a. Mark Twain. He lived there at one point. There's a plaque commemorating it. He lived there, they say, between 1900 and 1901. He's been appearing since the 1930s. Now, listen to this. Here's a quote from a woman. He's been seen at least a couple of times. But one woman in the 30s who was living there walked into the living room at one point and saw a man in gray hair just sitting in a rocking chair looking out the window. And she said, "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" And his quote is, "My name is Clemens, and I has a problem here. I got to settle." And then he disappeared.
Well, maybe he settled it.
I don't know. There's been rumors that he had a lot of outstanding debts while living, and maybe his spirit still thinks he had to settle them. But that was an exact quote, and I've looked under multiple internet sources that all have this quote, and multiple people have claimed to see him. So they say that Mark Twain still hangs out because, as we talked about in previous episodes, you don't have to die somewhere for your spirit to stay somewhere. Like, you basically go where you want to, I guess, in a way, if it's an intelligent residual.
I'm going to be at Carthay Circle when I die then, I guess.
Can you imagine, though, just like being in a room and looking over and being like, is that Mark Twain? No way.
I would have so many questions to ask him, like so much, and be like, listen, we got to get down to it. Like, yeah, there's a really good Audible podcast with Nick Offerman. he does a dinner of like Mark Twain's favorite foods, which are all 50% of them are disgusting, just gross, like raccoon yeah, like there's a some kind of chicken that's not no longer like it's like very endangered, and he's just it's interesting. And then they go through like his history, and they go through a little bit of the complicated nature of that man from an ethnic point of view. But yeah. I think it's really a well done one. So I think I would just have so many questions. And I'd be like, Nick Offerman, come here. We have some questions to ask you.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's interesting.
Has Mark Twain's spirit been seen in other locations or just this place in New York?
That's actually a great question. The reason why this house specifically is called the House of Death, though, is because the building made national headlines in 1987. A New York City attorney, his name is Joel Steinberg, this is awful to even say these words, savagely beat up his wife and one of his daughters. And his daughter was actually declared brain dead and she died. And so he was convicted of it. But they say that those are a couple of the spirits that also inhabit there. So that's why it's called the House of Death. They think that there's just a negativity since it was built over 100. Some people say it's cursed. Of course, there's still people living there because it's New York City and it's overcrowded. And
I wonder if Samuel Clemens has been seen anywhere else. This is what I would like to know.
Well, I'm sure there's claims, right? Because it's like the Black Dahlia out here, right? Everyone, like there's so many places in Los Angeles, they're like, Black Dahlia haunts this place. And this was the last place she had a drink. And I was like, well, then she went on a pub crawl because the bar over there also said that was her last drink. You know, I'm like, I don't, you know, which, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, but you know, there's a lot of people that claim her. There's a lot of people that claim Marilyn, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there's a difference, though. Marilyn was very famous. Janis Joplin was very famous. They had personality traits. Nobody knew who the Black Dahlia was till after she was murdered. Black Dahlia was essentially a socialite and a wannabe budding actress, if you will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course people are going to claim, oh, it's the Black Dahlia. No, you don't know anything about her. No one knew anything about her as a person, really, except that she kind of took advantage of social situations until, unfortunately, she met a really grim demise, you know?
I mean, honestly, my spirit would be a little bit disturbed by the fact that I would be most famous for being butchered. Like, I would probably haunt multiple places, too. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's it. I'd be like, ah, this is not what I want to be known for. I want to be known for drinking at this bar and this bar and this bar and this bar.
Okay. Well, Anastasia, to be fair, what you're now going to be known for is for drinking with me at Carl Strauss.
Right? That is where we're like on my deathbed, I'll just be like, meet me at Carl Strauss.
We could do an episode focusing solely on what trigger objects we would like after we die. That would be
cool. That's what I was thinking of, like when we were talking about it on a previous episode, I was like, what would be the thing that would call me out? Like, what would trigger my spirit to come out? And I think it would just be cake, you guys. I think it would be cake.
Oh, cake.
Yeah. I think if you just, like, slice cake. I mean, I talk about this a lot on my stand-up, and I talk a lot about it on my my one-woman show coming up. But I have a thing with cake. And it's like a trigger for me. And I think that if you just had, like, a slice of cake, I would probably crawl out of the grave. Like, maybe not even ghost, just my whole body might crawl out of the grave and be like, what up, dude? Where's the cake? You know?
Carrie, what would bring you back?
I'm trying to, is something I love or something that freaks me out or?
Either or, like, let's say you moved on to another realm and what item would bring you back to, you know, hang out?
Popcorn? I don't know. I've been eating popcorn every day. In corn almost every day. It's and even when I don't want it and I don't enjoy it, it's become this weird thing. Good so maybe it's can becoming sort of traumatic. So and like I put cayenne pepper on it and then I always sneeze when I have popcorn in my mouth and then it goes everywhere. And then like, you know, it has cayenne, so I can't rub my eyes, but I have glasses, thankfully. But it's kind of dangerous because of the cayenne. Maybe the cat sculpture is like hypnotizing me into eating the popcorn. I don't know. There's some mystery there. There's a whole podcast behind that. A whole series. It's a whole.
I think there is.
Quasto, what would be your object?
Yeah.
Oh, all you have to do is like we spoke with Chrissy Sumner last week of Soul Sisters Paranormal. Go back and listen to it. She talked about how they were able to get the spirit active of a guy who was a murderer, and but also loved Days of Our Lives. So they played episodes of Days of Our Lives on a loop and were able to get reactions. I'm very similar. You play reruns of In Living Color. I am definitely, you're going to hear, "Oh, we don't play that." Like, you're going to get an EVP of me saying that, or you're going to get an EVP of me saying, "Let me show you something." Like, there's going to be some kind of reaction. Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
That's a great show to be your calling card, though. Like, greatest that would be.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's different sketches that would call me out. Like, there's just like, I think with our attention span currently in this new age, it would probably be more like little memes or little like things that'll just make you laugh real fast. Like, that would call you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's just like little clips that always make you laugh, you know, like 100% all the time.
And to round this out, though, Ashley, we need to ask you, because there's no doubt you're going to haunt a lot of things. So what object might...
She already has.
IPA.
The doppelganger.
Yeah.
I already haunt everything. Can mine be a person? Only because I want it to be a person. I want it to be Taika Waititi. That's great. That'll be my trigger object. It's already my trigger object. No, honestly, mine would... This sounds real stupid. But I really love pizza, and I feel like it would probably be pizza or tacos. Oh, it'd probably be tacos. Actually, yeah. Nope, it'd be tacos.
I was going to like set a trap for an Ashley. I would put like the duck fat pretzel bites from Carl Strauss, an IPA, some Brussels sprouts, and then maybe a pizza, and then like play What We Do in the Shadows in the background, as well as Misfits. And it would just be like, whoosh, 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 like a windstorm.
That would be the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
I could totally see one of you sitting at Carl Strauss with the entire setup next to you, the pretzels and the beer, and someone comes up to you and says, is this seat taken? And one of you is like, yeah, it's from a ghost friend.
Yeah.
How dare you? Yes, how it's taken.
And all of a sudden, the beer just starts disappearing.
Yeah. And stuff gets thrown because we got to pay back the fact that we got stuff thrown at us at Carl Strauss.
Oh, yes. But you know what it comes down to in the end, guys, is if any of us pass away in an untimely manner and we do decide to do an investigation, we literally just need to bring a beer is what it comes down to. It's bring a beer and one of us is going to show up.
From Tavor, right?
From Tavor. And if you bring an IPA for me, I'll probably show up and then like make a ghostly face that looks like
you'll knock it over.
Oh, see, I was going, I would still try it, but like make a nasty ghost face.
Is she cringing in this photo?
Like I'd show up as a ghost, like,
yeah, that ghost looks constipated. What's going on? What a fun show it's been. Carrie Weider, thank you for joining us. Tell everyone where they can find you as well as in another room.
They can find me in California. No, I don't think that's what you meant. In another room, I have a web series called Catspiration, which is inspired by this very house that I stay in with all the cat tchotchkes. That's on a YouTube channel called Random and Confusing. And I also have on a different YouTube channel that doesn't have a name, I have a series called Lunch Break Star Wars, where on a movie set, I enacted several famous scenes from Star Wars using objects during my lunch break. For instance, the first one that I did was inspired by a coffee thermos that became R2-D2 and I was Princess Leia. And it just
naturally
grew from there. So yeah, my last name is Weider. I before E, very important.
And make sure you listen to In Another Room. It is truly unique. A lot of fun. It's fucking, it's terrifying. I will say that.
Oh, too. Thank you. Terrifying. Wow. That's great. I love hearing that.
It definitely is. Anastasia.
Oh, you can find me at Anastasia W on Twitter, at Anastasia Wash on Instagram, Anastasia TV. If you're nasty, I mean, just kidding, YouTube. What else? That's it. I probably have some stand-up shows coming up, so check them out on the socials.
Okay, and Ashley Trobe.
Wow. That was a lot.
It was like scary and sexual at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that would have brought me back, Quasto.
There it is. We figured it out.
There it is. Now I know what wakes me up.
Trigger word.
You can find me at Ashley Trobe on everything. I'm going to start doing reviews for that hashtag show pretty soon. So if you guys are into video games, I'm going to be reviewing video games for them. Mm. And it's going to be really fun. So if you guys like beer, ghosts, and video games like I do, start checking that out. That's coming up pretty soon.
Outstanding. We are at Haunts and Hops on all social media platforms. I'm at Jay Quasto, of course. Once again, Tavor, use the code HAUNTS10. Get yourself a discount. And once again, thank you so much. Tell a couple of friends. Go on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars. Write us a nice review. And just try to spread the good word, because every single week we have unique guests. We have great stories. We have so much. Go ahead, Ash.
No, I was saying 5.
Oh, I thought you were giving me one of these. Like, I want to say something. Yes, 5 stars. Give us 5 stars. And with that said, thank you so much to Carrie Weider. And thank you for listening. It's all time to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, tell a couple of friends, and please rate and review the show on whatever platform you're listening on, especially if it's iTunes and Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you.